Hi, everybody. I'm Emily.
And I'm Vince.
And this is the Lighthouse Lowdown. We're doing a nighttime recording.
We sure are. And it's a Tuesday night.
Yeah, Tuesday night. We got a winter storm coming tomorrow. I've got strep throat. So we're going to be powering through.
It's great. We're having fun.
Many different aspects of our lives.
Lucky to be here.
That is true. We are lucky to be here. Could be somewhere else. Could be outside. We have a good episode today. It's a listener lighthouse. So
nice.
Applaud our listeners for continuing to send lighthouses so that we can cover them. Because those are always the most fun, that we know that somebody's going to be like, oh my gosh, yes, this is the lighthouse I asked. And then they can listen and be, you know, just slightly disappointed by the delivery and the content.
Was this from one listener or is it a repeat?
This is one listener.
Nice. Shout out.
But first, I'll go into our history buoy. This is where our first incorrect pronunciation will come from, most likely. Because how do you look up how a last name is pronounced from 130 years ago?
Oh, history? I don't know.
Yeah, like it's just this guy.
There's phonetics, but I'm not very smart with those.
Yeah, so it's just Mahan. Mahan.
How do you spell it?
Mahan. Mahan.
What part of the world?
America.
Mahan.
Mahan.
is the H capitalized?
His first name is Frederick. The H is not capitalized.
Frederick Mahan. 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 Mahan.
Just gonna go with Mahan.
Frederick M.
I'm sure it's wrong, so just live with it. But anyway, it's a style of Fresnelis, the Mahan system. So
very cool.
I'm sure it's out there, but I had a hard time even finding any information on this subject, which was interesting. Like even the USLHS website, I had to do some digging and I just found newspaper article clipping about how this happened. But it's a huge part of the lighthouse we're covering today, so I'm going into it.
Heck yeah. Let's do it.
Mahan system Fresnelis. So in the late 1800s, it became, and we talked about this the other day, it became a problem that all the lighthouse light characteristics were starting to be the same.
Yeah.
Like everybody had a fixed white light. So, you know, if you were disoriented and all of a sudden you see a solid white light offshore, you'd have no idea which lighthouse it could possibly be referencing. You need more information. So Captain Frederick A. Mahan.
Yes.
Created the design for Fresnelis that flash numbers as their characteristics. And so basically they had little cropped flash panels. So, you know, usually like the bullseye of a Fresnelis, it's like this little circle in the middle and it goes bigger and bigger rings around it. And so this one is like if you had one of those, but you cut it in the middle, like vertically or like slightly off to the side or like.
Yeah.
And I'll show a picture and a video. So if anyone's interested in that, you can go to our YouTube and we'll have this posted. But so as the lens rotated, you would see really quick flashes and they would group the flashes so that it would be like four quick flashes in a space. And then like one of these examples, five quick flashes. So it was the 4-5 lens.
Oh, cool.
So like nothing really changes. The light would remain the same and everything, but the Fresnelis itself produces a flash pattern that's like different from any other lighthouse. So you know exactly which one you're looking at.
And it's blocked off light and it's in series that are timed with a mechanism.
Not blocked off, but not punchy. Like not...
like flashes?
Yeah, it's like it's not a focused beams, so it's kind of diffused. Oh. So I'll show you the picture.
That is cool.
So here you can just see facing us is the diffused area. So it's like it's still lit and you would still see it as like a light.
Yeah.
But the other side is where we have these tight, really skinny, what are they called? Panels. And that's where you get your flashes from. And you can tell in the reflection on the wall that there are these little bullseyes that are cut off.
Beautiful. That's a really pretty photo.
So this the actual lens. He had two lenses made and they were at display at the Columbian Exposition in 1893. and moved to their test lighthouses in 1894, where they remained. But because of how expensive it was to get custom Fresnel lenses that were so particular, and, you know, like the panels are all slightly different, so it was just so expensive that they didn't implement this idea anywhere else, even though it was so effective that both test lighthouses kept the Fresnel lens for the rest of their lives.
It's really interesting. It's a good idea.
Yeah. So Mahan maintained that, quote, by this method, the identity of the lighthouse would be absolute, end quote. And so he created two. The first one was a first order that flashed 4 or 5. So that's the one that I'm going to show a video of.
Okay.
4 quick flashes, 3 seconds of darkness, and then 5 quick flashes, and then 16 seconds of darkness, which is, like in this example, the entire backside of the lens is technically the darkness area, but it's not blocked off. It's just,
yeah, just
diffused light.
And that timing is just based on the spinning of the lens.
Yeah.
And each panel coming in and out of a person's reference
point. Yeah, a perfect, yeah. And that these were both on mercury floats. So
nice.
I know. They were with the times. And the other one was a second order that flashed 1, 4, 3. And so each group of flashes was separated by 3 seconds of darkness with 2 seconds between each flash, followed by 15 seconds of darkness. So
nice.
I'll show this video.
And darkness meaning a blacked off panel altogether?
No, it means this diffused area. The darkness is just like you're not getting that flash of light in your corneas. Okay, this video is one that somebody took on Facebook. As it comes back around, you can see those cropped flash panels, and also on like the ceiling of this video you can see how a lot of the light on the diffused area is lost upwards, and then the focused ones have this really tight prisms around there so they don't lose any light.
Yeah,
so you see 1, 2, 3, 4, and then there's a change in angle of the Fresnel lens, and so you don't technically have a block off there, but it takes a little bit longer for it to show on that next panel because the angle of the corner is steeper.
It's split one way or the other.
Yeah.
Is that's intentional to build the timing?
Yeah. So it's like, cool. So you get an obvious group of 4 and then a slight pause and then a group of 5.
So because it's radial, it's around a point, there is a difference probably in timing. So the number of seconds is probably different depending on how far you are away between the flashes.
Yeah, probably.
You know, maybe, if you have a fan, if you're closer to the center versus closer to the edge.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I think science.
So anyway, I thought that was
cool. Video. Yeah.
Yeah, that was my history buoy. We are going to cover the lighthouse that received the 1-4-3 lens.
Heck yeah.
Which is Minot's Ledge Lighthouse.
Which one?
Minot's Ledge. It's spelled, this whole time I was researching, I'm going to try really hard not to do this. It's just like Body Island, where I'm like, Bodhi.
Yeah, yeah.
And then you find out, like, at the end of your research, or even after you'd already done the episode, that the pronunciation's not the way that it looks. So, like, this one, I would say Minot, because it's M-I-N-O-T-S.
Right.
So I'm like, Minot's Light, but it's Minot's. Allegedly. Maybe I'm wrong, but every video I've watched, they say Minot's. And that includes Jeremy, a video that Jeremy made. So.
Oh, sometimes things come to the U.S. And they're kind of renamed based on our pronunciation.
Yeah, that's true.
Like Jacques Minot is a dark red rose, for example.
Oh, my gosh.
M-I-N-O-T, yeah.
Cute. I didn't know that.
There you go.
Is that French?
Yes.
Okay, so like I said, this is going to be our listener lighthouse. So thank you to Megan, our listener Megan, who sent this in from New Zealand. She also said, by the way, we have a lot of cool lighthouses too.
I bet you do.
So we'll have to definitely look at New Zealand. And I saw that we actually get around like 8 listens per episode from New Zealand.
Hey,
so there's people out there listed in New Zealand. So we have to get that on our radar for sure. Because I'm honest, I don't even know where it is.
It's very cool.
Geography is not my forte.
It's an awesome part of the world. And just far from here.
Yeah, for sure. Just like about everything else. So we're doing a little Valentine's Day themed episode. So I know this is coming out a couple days after Valentine's Day, but you know, you can just pretend that it's in the moment. We're going 2.5 miles. Oh, I forgot to put in some slides, but whatever. You can look it up on maps. I thought I was prepared for this, but I suppose I'm not. 2.5 miles out into Massachusetts Bay, which is and just slightly south of Boston. So originally I had a screenshot that showed
we've been there.
The geography. But yeah, we drove past it, but it's, you know, 2.5 miles out, so you'd have to work really hard to see it out there.
You'd have to squint.
We would not have probably been looking out into the sea for a lighthouse. The problem that introduced this lighthouse was a almost invisible outcropping of rocks out in Massachusetts Bay.
Oh, no.
And these rocks had picked off sailors for centuries, and the first recorded ship crashed in 1695 with no survivors. So
damn.
That was, like, super long time ago before, I mean, this spot was
in
obviously active, you know, Boston harbors.
Right, yeah, one of the early places to get busy,
but active. Still, like, so noticed very early on, which didn't get a lighthouse for a long time anyway.
Do you know that story, that shipwreck? Because that's curious, no survivors, you know?
Yeah.
So, theoretically, whoever was expecting the ship to arrive was the one who figured it had crashed.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, did they find the ship? How do they know if there's no survivors?
I don't know.
They find the people, but they weren't alive. Oh.
Yeah, maybe it's like half the ship or something. Like, it was so shallow that maybe it just grounded, but then, like, everybody died. Never know. 2.5 miles out is pretty far when it's, you know, 1600s.
Too far to swim.
But anyway, before this, Native Americans would paddle out and offer dishes, ornaments, and beads to appease Hobomok, which was an evil spirit they believed plagued the waters, and that's why there were so many deaths, but it was this ledge.
Well, two things can be true. It could have been Hobomok. And this ledge.
Yeah, that's true. Could have been working in tandem. So a prominent Boston merchant, George Minot. See, I'm having to get used to it. Minot. That's what it is. But maybe he went by Minot, but over time it's just turned into Minot. But anyway, this guy lost a valuable ship there in 1754, and at that point over 400 people had died on this outcropping of rocks. So
I'm
shocked that it took that long. But after the loss of his ship, I don't know if he like threw a big fit or if like there was like a bunch of drama surrounding it or something,
yeah.
But it became known as Minot's Ledge. Hmm. So that
must have been one heck of a haul.
I'm wondering, yeah, like it's a merchant ship, so like, is it like porcelain bowls or was it like gold?
Salt,
yeah, cinnamon. Silk. You know the stuff they tell you in history classes that were valuable, and then you only have four examples for the rest of your life.
Yeah,
what used to be valuable.
When you start your own podcast. You're like, oh my gosh, I know there's the silk trail.
Salt?
There's salt, pepper, mm-hmm. pepper, white pepper,
some spices in there.
The spice trail.
My gosh, derailed. So IWP Lewis, we know this guy. We had a history book about his uncle.
Unfortunately.
Who was a problem child. He wrote his report in 1842 and said, quote, "A lighthouse on this reef is more required than on any part of the seaboard of New England. The loss of lives and property here have been annual and will continue to occur until a light is established and the one at, Situate is another lighthouse just south, like on the mainland.
Jeez.
Situate, I think is how it's pronounced, but I could be wrong. Didn't look it up. Going by feelings. He continues. "A wreck on this fatal reef is always attended by the destruction of human life owing to its great distance from the shore and the tremendous sea that rolls in over the rocks when the wind is at the eastward," end quote. So obviously he's like, I don't know what you guys are doing. There needs to be a lighthouse on this rock.
Mm-hmm.
How many more people are going to die before we end up putting a lighthouse out here? So the lighthouse establishment responded by building a strange lighthouse, especially for the time, perched on 60-foot long iron pilings cemented in just 5 feet of rock. The legs would allow the light to be hit by waves and high winds without damaging the actual lighthouse.
Okay.
But like it makes it quite precarious, you know?
Yeah.
60-foot legs.
But are they long legs?
Yeah.
Oh, I was thinking 60 feet laid down.
No.
5 foot, wait, of rock.
I'll show you. 5 feet embedded and 60 feet out.
I think the word precarious makes sense.
They completed it in 1850 for $39,000, which at that time was probably crazy. And it was lit New Year's Day, 1851 or 1850. I can't remember. I think it was 1850. So New Year's Day of 1850, it was lit. So it was completed 1849. It was bright red, the entire thing, octagonal, and definitely not something that would bestow too much confidence in those that were in it.
Oh, my gosh.
So I pulled up a photo of a drawing of what it looked like. I'm sure they posted it in the newspaper and everything.
So it's like a water tower type construction.
Yes, it's like a water tower for a city, but in water. And so you have to get up by a ladder, and like all the supplies are, you know, kind of the same.
Is that a deck below that's exposed that has supplies on it?
Yeah. Oof. I feel like you probably lose those.
Hey, would you run down and get some toilet paper?
We're out of toilet paper. It's like, sucks.
Middle of a storm.
That's just too damn bad.
Yeah, there's a boat racked up there.
Mm-hmm.
That looks like a lot of work.
Yep. And so like automatically this lighthouse was a terrible experience for keepers because
it would
sway back and forth like during storms, any amount of wind. And so much so that the first keeper's cat abandoned ship in the middle of a storm because it was so spooked by the water. So, and thus becoming the first casualty of this lighthouse and not the last.
Damn. The cat gave up.
I know. Like, just, I'm out.
Tapped.
Like, obviously he didn't know that.
I don't know.
But imagine jumping off of a surface that high in the air.
60 feet.
It would be doing some serious swaying. I mean, with legs that skinny.
That's crazy. Like
the width of a human man. That's not that much for 60 feet.
The resonance would be awful.
The first head keeper, Isaac Dunham, which sounds like a familiar name to me. I think we've probably read about him at some other lighthouse.
Dunham.
He wrote, quote, "The wind east blowing very hard with an ugly sea, which makes the light reel like a drunken man. I hope God will in mercy still the raging sea, or we must perish. God only knows what the end will be," end quote. So by October, he quit.
When was that he wrote?
I think that was, it was in January, and he was the first keeper. So he actually lasted good, solid 10 months. He's like,
I'm not lasting the winter out here.
Yeah. So at least, yeah, that's true. Yeah, winter would be way worse than that. But. So in the fall, he quit. His replacement said in January, there's a lot of quotes today because they're good for history. Quote, "So precarious is our present situation that there is a prospect that this may never reach you. The rods put into the lower section are bent up in fantastic shapes. Some are torn asunder from their fastenings. The ice is so massive that there is no appearance of the ladder. The sea is now running at least 25 feet above the level, and each one roars like a heavy peal of thunder. The northern part of the foundation is split, and the lighthouse shakes at least 2 feet each way. I feel as seasick as I ever did on board a ship. Think not that I will ever flinch from my post, though the waves should gain the mastery for which they are so incessantly striving. When I accepted this post, I closed my ears against the reports of the former keeper, treating them, as I now find, too lightly. If here I shall remain so long as a vestige of the lighthouse remains, but the truth must be told," end quote. So he sent that to a newspaper.
That is epic.
I know. First of all, excellent storytelling. It was so
impactful. He thought about it for a while.
Yeah, he was
talked about it in the mirror.
The peals of thunder
may not reach you.
Yeah.
The ladder is not
it may
still
not reach.
Visible.
Twisted in fantastic shapes.
Where are monsters be here?
Definitely a good thing for a newspaper. And he was basically just saying, like, this is really awful and people need to know that this
and
is...
And I might die
read this. That it's actually worrisome that we might not make it. Swift, who was the engineer for this lighthouse, responded said, quote, "If a lighthouse can be built on the Minot, which can be made to stand securely in its place for, say, $40,000, would it be wise to expend $200,000 or more for a stone tower? The answer, we think, is obvious. If it can be made safe, build the pile light. If it cannot be made safe, build the tower. Time, the great expounder of the truth or the fallacy of the question, will decide for or against the minute. But inasmuch as the light has outlived nearly three winters, there is some reason to hope that it may survive one or two more.
Whoa.
So he's like, okay, the time tells all, right? So let's just see what happens, right? Because it would be a lot more expensive to make a stone lighthouse. So
that's such an engineer.
I know.
Oh my God, this thing's falling apart. Time will show us that one could explore the idea of having done something differently.
You could have, but why?
But if hitherto...
If it's still here, then why worry?
What is a man's life worth, really?
Oh, gosh. So, April, following this letter, that was in January, in the Boston Daily Advertiser, a nor'easter hit the lighthouse. The head keeper had rowed to shore early in the day to get a new boat, and so his two assistant keepers were left behind.
Oh, which, no.
There's only one boat, so they're kind of... He abandoned them, for certain. But let's be fair. In no way is this his fault, because nobody knew storms were coming back then.
He was getting a new boat?
Yeah, like, the boat that he went there on was not good enough.
That's what I'm saying.
But, I mean, same story for the lighthouse. Maybe it was, like, really decrepit, and they're like, wow, we really need a new boat, so I'm going to go do that. Should have done that with the lighthouse. So the two assistant keepers were left. They frantically rang the fog bell, and everyone, like, could hear it from the shore, but nobody can get out there to help them. And it went silent as the lighthouse broke apart and plunged into the sea.
Oh, my God.
Now, got a picture of what was in the newspaper.
Oh, no. Oh my
so
God.
Awful. Destruction just... of Minot's Ledge Lighthouse.
Oh no.
So a last letter in a bottle washed ashore 2 days later, written by the two men, which like put a letter in a bottle and someone actually found it 2 days later. I think that's crazy. They said, quote, the beacon cannot last any longer. She is shaking a good 3 feet each way as I write. God bless you all. End quote. And their bodies washed ashore soon after.
That is so sad. However, I can't help myself. If this wasn't a real story, how epic.
Epic, I know.
Unfortunately, it's just sad.
And how tough they are.
What an awful experience.
I know. So there's actually a memorial now. They did a dive and found like what they think are the original like pilings in the ground of the, you know, wow, the ocean. And so they lowered a memorial like plaque that has their names on it to be in the water, which I would disagree with. But they also have a marble one that's at the current like museum site.
This
so
is crazy.
You can read about that.
So the whole body of the lighthouse was lost.
Oh yeah, it was like everyone woke up in the morning and it was just like
gone,
bits like jutting out of the water, and that was it.
And those steel beams are what they've supposed they'd found.
Yeah.
What a way to go.
I know.
Also, if you're not watching YouTube, we should include this somewhere on like Instagram.
Yeah.
Crazy photo.
Really great drawing. Used to be an awesome job to have, would be to like draw from people's accounts of what happened or like your own imagination. You just draw like a depiction of what happened, and it's like a whole newspaper size.
Yeah.
Kind of cool.
It is cool. Very well done.
After the loss of this lighthouse and our two keepers, a lightship was stationed on the reef from 1851 until 1860. And there's a little drawing of this one.
It's an early lightship.
I know. Minot's Ledge lightship, which became something else. I have
another Chesapeake.
It's another vague memory of like us having talked about it turning into another lightship that we actually like did a discussion over. So yeah, that was there for solid 9 years.
For those of you who don't know, we have an episode, right? Talked about, yeah, we did lightships. I can see the cover.
Yeah.
The YouTube cover is really cool. But we talked about lightships. It's a ship being in place of a lighthouse to keep those travelers away mm-hmm. when a lighthouse can't be built or in this situation right. where it's kind of a tough situation. But yeah. Really
mobile
cool.
mobile lighthouse.
And we got to see a lightship. Was it, what was the night? Huh? Was it a Chesapeake? In Boston
no,
Harbor?
No. No, no. It was the island that's off of Cape Cod that we didn't go see. Nantucket.
Nantucket. I'm sorry.
No, that's right. I couldn't remember.
It was docked at Boston Harbor, and we got shown around. It was really cool.
So cool.
Really recommend you go see it if you have time.
It would be hard living, but it also, like, they had, like, heated internal, like... Yeah,
it had radiators.
Yeah, there was...
They were fishing.
They made really good food. Their kitchens were extremely spacious and, like, well-stocked, so...
Pretty cool.
Can't complain. In 1852, so 1 year after they put the lightship, $80,000 was set aside with construction beginning in 1855 to build a new lighthouse. Mm-hmm. And what do you think they did?
The same thing?
No. Luckily, they went with a stone tower. And a cool thing about this lighthouse is they used the method that we just covered with your episode,
yeah.
the dovetailed granite blocks that were used in the Eddystone Lighthouse. So. Cool. We see it trickling over, being really successful somewhere else, and
yeah.
the construction method trickling over to the U.S.
Hundreds of years.
Mm-hmm.
Well, and to today, the base, at least, is still there.
Yeah.
Crazy.
1850. Like, that's crazy.
Yeah.
So this time, we went with a stone tower, granite blocks cut to be interlocking and weighing 2 tons each. And I did see that they were...
dowels.
The mortar, they did use dowels, and the mortar was...
Portland cement.
Yes, Portland yeah. cement. Thank you. I would not. I knew it started with a P, and that's all I had. So,
which was named after the quarry in England, I think, where Portland stone came from.
Yeah,
the same color, very
strong.
The cement is was the reason it was named that way.
Oh,
crazy!
I thought it was because it was extra tough. I thought he did a bunch of research to make it extra tough.
He did, but he didn't call it Portland cement.
Oh, okay. Gotcha.
It was called Portland cement because of its color.
Okay, I understand. The blocks were placed only at low tide to minimize waves, and in spite of this, many times construction workers were washed away anyway. But nobody died. No, nobody died. So, one of the requirements for working on this construction site is that you had to prove that you could swim.
No shit.
And they still employed a lifeguard that would just like sit and oversee the entire time. A lifeguard.
That's nice.
Which is like cute.
Unexpected.
Yeah.
Because not that long later, we built the skyscrapers of New York City where many men died.
I know. Crazy. Like no this lifeguard. Is like nobody died and yet we still employed somebody to help the people who did get washed off.
Let's go. Safety first.
Think about how common that it had to have been for people to get washed off, for them to be like, we need somebody to go and get them. Like, every time, we need somebody.
So funny.
So they did that. 2 years into construction, the ship, the New Empire, mm-hmm. wrecked on the rocks, taking out everything that had been constructed thus far for this lighthouse and damaging the base rock, which means they had to start over with their...
foundation.
Yeah.
Dang.
Can you imagine being 2 years in and just being like, oh no.
Change order.
The New Empire.
Just got to restart.
So they started anew, which is nice. They didn't just give up. They just started again. Like, okay, it's a setback.
Crazy.
Let's power through. They cut the rock for the foundation in the first 3 years. And a couple more years dovetailing and doweling the blocks that built the lighthouse.
Mm-hmm.
So this was like, this is why the lightship was there for 9 years, because it took this long to get construction over with. The granite supported a bronze lantern at almost 100 feet tall. And the second order Fresnel lens was lit officially November 15th, 1860 with a fixed white light. And cost ended up being $300,000.
What an epic... construction project.
Yeah.
For the 1800s to see this go up, to be a part of it, to even just know the story.
Years.
Incredible.
Almost a decade like of working on this. I'm sure it would have been hard to see the end, like if you were just a guy who kept getting washed off the base every 5 seconds for like, why are we even doing this? But yeah, I mean, it's still there today. No problems at all.
Really?
So it's a testament to this method of building lighthouses. It's just sitting there absolutely destroyed by waves all the time, and it just perseveres. So I have a cross section pulled up that shows one, the expanse of ladder that you have to climb.
Wow.
To get into this lighthouse, and that the bottom half is all solid granite.
That's like 50 feet of ladder.
Yeah, I know. I know. They really made you work for it. I'm sure it was like probably 30 feet you had to climb.
I mean, the tower is 100.
Almost 100, a little less than 100.
In any case, that's a lot of ladder.
I know.
And that's it makes sense, but that is a solid, solid base.
And you're getting, if you think about it, you're getting onto the ladder in a bobbing boat or a thrashing boat, you know, depending on what the weather's like. So
yeah, the videos of like, even today, like ship pilots jumping onto a boat, like to grab a ladder.
Yes.
Crazy. That's still a thing. Like brain, words is hard. So in this cutaway, I see a channel. So we see all the marble dowels in between each layer. Really cool. Solid granite. There's a tunnel in the center. Is that for the clockwork mechanism?
No, and I'm not sure what it was for. I'm wondering if it was like maybe they put water in there. It was like a long, skinny cistern. I'm sure they had they had to have fresh water stored somewhere. So, yeah, I didn't make any notes on it. But anyway, the lighthouse got a head keeper and three assistant keepers who had two double dwellings built at Cohasset, I want to say, to provide shore accommodations for them and their families, along with a storehouse, boathouse, and blacksmith shop. So, nice. You know, the 2.5 miles back to shore, there was a place. I've seen to it referred as Cohasset and Government Island. I think Government Island is like, you see Cohasset on Google Maps, but not Government Island. Mm. But Government Island is what they call the space where all of this is still located. You can go and like tour it like a museum.
Interesting.
And they have the lantern room of this lighthouse there. So though it's still there. It's just, they have a lighthouse, the lantern room replica still there. Or wait, maybe it is the original, because they did a remodel in like the 80s where they
took the original down.
Yeah, where they had a picture of it, of the tower without its lantern room. And so I think they might have moved it and then put in like a new one up there. I don't know.
Your bronze top.
Mm-hmm.
We went to a place a lot like that. The old jail, and next door was a blacksmith shop.
That was a dark time for Vince and I.
Story for another time.
Yeah. Yeah. Or you can go back and listen to our Cape Cod blog, where I'm sure we talk about the disappointment that was that moment. Yeah. Oh, I think I have a photo of... No.
You don't have a photo.
I don't. I had one, and apparently... I'm telling you, I was in my head. I was 100% prepared for this.
Maybe we can see it on Instagram. That's cool.
Yeah, I'll put it on there. So I guess we'll move on from that. 1894, the lens was replaced with a different second order Fresnel lens, and it was one of the only two of its kind from the Mahan system.
Of course.
The other going to Cape Charles. So if you guys wanted to look up the 4-5 lens, which is the one that I had a video of, is like all of our examples, photos and stuff, was from the Cape Charles lighthouse, because they have that on display really nicely. But this one's on display, but it's in the lighthouse lantern room that's on Government Island. So, you know, the example from Cape Charles had, it's lit and it's rotating and it's like solid walls, so you can see the flash pattern happening. Mm. So it's easier to see when you're not there in person. So those are the examples we used. But mine, its ledge got 1-4-3 flash pattern. Because of this, it became known as the I Love You Lighthouse, because 1-4-3 represents the letters.
Spelling.
And I love you. The spacing of the flashes has changed slightly over time, with the flashes being 1.5 seconds long, as well as the eclipses being 1.5 seconds long between flashes. So these are just a couple of the two clippings that I found referencing that this happened. So it just kind of talks about how smart they altered it from the fix to the flashing and like what the background was behind it and everything. So if anybody wanted to look it up, it's a lot of good information in here.
Well, when you first said numbers, I was thinking like, oh, how do they do that with like Morse code? Like how would everyone know?
Mm.
No.
Yeah.
It's just the number of flashes, you silly goose.
But it is. Yeah. It's not really, it seems.
It's a great idea.
Yeah. I agree. It's too bad that it was too expensive, which kind of is the destroyer of all good ideas. Cost.
It's true.
1947, the lighthouse was automated and electrified and lost its resident keepers. The second order lens was disassembled and crated in the basement of the tower and subsequently damaged by vandals. Because who doesn't climb into a lighthouse 2.5 miles off the shore and smash some glass prisms? You might as well, right? Uncrate and smash some prisms.
I don't get that.
It's awful.
I get going there. You're not supposed to, but it'd be awesome.
It would be awesome.
And then breaking it.
Breaking stuff.
I don't understand that part.
I don't understand. It drives me crazy. A third order was used in the light until 1971, and now it resides inside a replica of the lantern room on Government Island. What? So it doesn't even... So the second one is, like, not even on display. I surprised myself with my own nose. So, yeah, that's... So the one from the Mahan system, not even on display. You can't even see it. That sucks. Stinking vandals.
I don't understand. So where did it go?
I mean, I don't probably dispose of if they were all broken. Like if they damaged it enough so that they couldn't
There's no way. They. Yeah.
Oh, man.
Yeah, they probably broke it to take a piece.
Rude.
Yeah.
Well, they did a lot more than that if they couldn't even like replace a couple of prisms. So much that they don't even have it anymore. Somebody please tell me if you know, if it's still out there.
Someone's living room.
Maybe.
It's my new theory.
It's our ongoing
I'm going to die on that hill. My theory is that there's a bunch of rich people out there and they have Fresnel lenses.
Yeah.
Or parts
chilling
of them. In their living room.
Casual mercury floats.
Did you see that article I sent you with the Velociraptor?
Oh, I think I opened it for like a millisecond.
That makes sense. Rude.
I'm sick. All right. Is this the one that where they still had skin attached?
No.
Okay. Then I saw a different Velociraptor. I'm sick.
He had on a do-rag and a gold chain.
All right. Okay, so that sucks, but it's the third order one that's on display that you can look at. It also has original granite blocks from the light, the original keeper's dwellings, because this is where their houses were actually built. The fog bell, which was removed from the tower after an unsuccessful robbery attempt, and some construction rings that they used to build the light so you can like go and explore.
Cool.
Mm-hmm.
Who tried to steal the fog bell?
I don't know. An unsuccessful what like
were you gonna turn it in for scrap?
Yeah. I don't know, like
didn't realize this was so heavy.
Were they Yeah, it's like hundreds of pounds, yeah. No way it's easy to carry. It looks pretty nice, actually.
Yeah, it's a nice little display there.
Yeah. And I'm loving that cupola.
Bronze.
Vent ball. It's all shiny and nice.
Little lightning rod on top.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Of course. A classic.
We'd love to see it. What's the are those cables going from the cupola down to the rail's edge?
I don't know.
I don't think I've seen that before on a lighthouse design. I kind of like it.
I wonder if it was there to do a little back. Oh, yeah, they were there on the original.
Could be
not
to...
Not in the drawing, but like...
Protect the glass. Could be just an added strength
mm-hmm.
component. It's cool. They look like they're also bronze.
Yeah, maybe so. If there was like any sort of movement happening... Because the cupola looks heavy compared to like the how much glass there is.
Yeah.
Maybe if there was any sort of movement, it would just like glass, cracking the glass panels or something.
Yeah. Although I remember Highland Light that we were at Cape Cod.
Mm-hmm.
It was like large glass. It was a first order room, but there was no Fresnel lens in it. So it was fun to walk around.
Yeah. Very open.
But it was more structural than I had anticipated.
Mm-hmm.
Also, 9-hole golf course. Pretty cool.
Really nice. Really enjoyable golf course.
Yeah. Played pretty well, too.
Lots of opportunities for seeing the lighthouse while you golf, which is why we're there. So
that's my thing.
10 out of 10.
10 out of 10.
Oh, and they sell golf balls with the lighthouse on them, plus t-shirts and hats and everything else.
Sandwiches.
We bought everything.
Hot dogs.
All of those listed. We had them all. Really great breakfast sandwiches. Honestly, like, I think fondly back. And he's like, is there one that you want that's not there? And I was like, oh, yeah, like just egg and cheese. And he's like, I could bake that for you. Come on.
On croissant.
Class then. Service.
Yeah. Nice guy. Nice people.
And excellent sandwich.
The only downside of the whole thing was the rented golf clubs. They were like ramshackle, whatever. Didn't matter. Emily had men's clubs, kind of.
Yeah.
I had, it was kind of fun, actually. I had an old Nike SQ driver.
Yeah.
Which is like a lightning strike when you hit it. Bam! Just pow.
We did take a couple holes as learning curves with these wrenched clubs.
Took a minute. Lost a ball, literally, on the first hit in front of a bunch of people.
That's because it was the strangest hole I've ever seen. It was like, remember, it was like you hit off a cliff, and then you go down this hill that, like, the golf cart could barely even handle it. Like,
that was hole two.
Oh, was it?
Yeah. Hole one, remember we pulled up, there's like a putting green and everyone's waiting and they're like, oh, you guys go ahead.
I thought that's where it was. We were just like hitting into the void.
You didn't even hit.
Oh, yeah, because it was too embarrassing.
I hit left, not that anyone cares, but I'll tell you. And if you know Highland Link, so you can look it up, I hit left into the rough. Yeah, anyways, I lost my ball right away. And they told us, like, yeah, I wouldn't go out there.
Mm-hmm.
What was it?
Ticks.
Yeah, which is probably not true. It's probably a...
No.
They tell us that to keep us moving.
No, they tell you, Massachusetts, they're like, don't go in the brush. It's tick city.
Well, so I lost that ball. And the first hole was rough.
Yeah.
And then after that, it went pretty well.
Yeah, we had fun, at the very least. Beautiful. I don't remember how I golfed, but it was fun.
So to digress...
It's all right.
Highland Light, lighthouses... Here we go.
Back on it. 2009, the lighthouse was offered up under the Preservation Act of 2000, but nobody wanted it. And it was auctioned off in 2014 for $222,000 to Bobby Sager. I want to say his name is.
Bob Sager.
S-A-G-E-R. Bobby Sager. I'm trying.
I'm trying to.
Okay. Who also owns Gray's Reef Lighthouse, which is close to our Waukesha's Lighthouse.
Of course.
And Boone Island Lighthouse, which we haven't covered yet.
Guys rolling in lighthouses.
I know. I was like, what are you doing with
them?
Who
is this person?
What are your intentions with our lighthouses? What do you have to offer her? Getting delirious. Nowadays, the lighthouse continues to be an active guide to navigation, but cannot be visited, though... Those of the ghostly kind seem to frequent the light. Perfectly timed. The execution is just exceptional.
Thanks.
While it is known as a place of romance and love, like the I Love You Lighthouse, mm-hmm. the Love Lighthouse.
Of course.
It's also holds lots of stories of unexplained sounds and sightings, and these seemingly from the two keepers who lost their lives to the spot so many years before.
Yeah, at least they died together.
Yeah, that's true. But it seems after death, they still stick around, so.
I guess we'll never know.
And that's the story of Minot's Ledge Lighthouse.
Never heard of it before.
A little Valentine's theme, just a little.
That's big lighthouse country out there.
Yeah, I know we keep hitting Massachusetts with our, but I mean, they're everywhere. Mm-hmm. Boston Harbor, man.
Yep.
We're going to have to cover whatever it is, Scituate Lighthouse. The pronunciation, I'm going to find out what it actually is. I'm going to be like, oh no. Well, thanks everybody for listening in and hope everyone had a great Valentine's Day. You can follow us on Instagram at The Lighthouse Lowdown. You can check out our website, lighthouselowdown.com, where can listen to our episodes, see our YouTube videos, leave us a review if you liked it. If you didn't like it, come back and try the next one.
If you didn't like it, you listened to the whole thing, so you liked it. Yeah. Surprise!
Yay! And that's all I got.
That's all we got.
Okay. We will catch you next time on The Lighthouse Lowdown.